Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support if you'd like, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Today, we dive into what's happening in China, and then John Solomon joins us for the latest at Maricopa County. Come to America Fest December 17, 18, 19, and 20 in Maricopa County, amfest.com. That is amfest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. A conservative thinker, author, or writer can probably tell you why government without checks and balances, without a proper structure, can lead to tyranny. As conservatives in kind of the conservative think tank world, it is very, it's well accepted, and with a fair amount of detail and sophistication, the conservative intelligentsia can tell you what happens if a government does not respect individual rights. However, can most conservatives also tell you what happens when a company is able to have as much power as a government? Right now, one of the most important stories happening in the Western world is the most valuable company in the Western world, which is Apple. They make great products, so I am an offender of the highest order of enriching Apple. However, we must take a step back and be honest about what Apple is currently doing. Not just what Apple is doing in China, but also what Apple is threatening to do to Elon Musk. Now, Apple has successfully diversified their business model from controlling the App Store to making hardware, laptops, and obviously their very successful iPhone, to being really controlling the vast majority of podcast market. There's so many different sectors that Apple has been able to successfully get into. And because of this, they're a multi-trillion dollar company. That's right, multi-trillion dollar company. Apple is more valuable than several countries in Eastern Europe. It's just hard to even wrap your head around. In fact, Apple is more valuable than, I think you could combine five or six African countries, just a single private company. Apple has now threatened to remove Twitter from the App Store, effectively ending the company, if Elon Musk continues on his free speech crusade. All the while, Apple has just limited and restricted AirDrop, which is an ability in the midst of protests to share information, share videos, share location. In the midst of all of the anti-CCP protests. Right now, Apple, and I say this with a lot of thought, Apple possesses more power than several parts of the federal government. Apple is more powerful in many different ways than the Department of Justice, the Federal Trade Commission. Apple has the ability to involve themselves in an anti-CCP movement and then all the while say that we are going to act like the CCP in America and prevent Elon Musk from continuing to liberate Twitter. Cut 66, Tucker Carlson talks about how Apple has limited the AirDrop feature in China. Play Cut 66.
Earlier this month, Apple did the bidding of the Chinese government to crush domestic protests against the Communist Party there. Apple did this by disabling its permanent AirDrop feature in China. So why did Apple disable that feature in China? Well, because that feature, permanent AirDrop, allows iPhone users to communicate directly with one another without using the internet or cellular networks, both of which, in a totalitarian state like China, are controlled by the government. And that's why when iPhone users in China began using permanent AirDrop to complain about the Communist Party, Apple just shut it down. Apple is now an active collaborator with China's murderous police state.
Someone emailed us freedom@charliekirk.com. Michael says, you need to move on from Apple products to set an example. That's fine. I acknowledge that. And that's why I led with that. I didn't want to act as if I was, you know, immune from enriching Apple's ability to grow very powerful over our country. And what's so illuminating for conservatives is that for years, we were always told that if we had free markets and lower taxes, that things would solve themselves through natural competition. And that rule is generally true. But what happens when a company itself begins to infringe on civil liberties? What happens when a company doesn't actually act in their best profit interest, but actually acts in their ideological interest? The CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, he is far more interested in protecting and preserving the Leviathan that Apple has become. Apple, similar to Google, by the way, has become its own government. Now, interestingly enough, throughout the years, if you pay attention to a lot of the tech blogs, and I read the tech blogs here and there, and by the way, if you remember, the great Rush Limbaugh was a massive Apple fan. Just remember that. So Apple, for years, was at least a little neutral when it came to be political. If you read the tech blogs, though, as I was saying, Apple used to pander, that's probably the wrong word. They actually used to communicate their commitment to civil liberties. I remember once being in Las Vegas, and there was this, oh boy, what is the name of the conference? One of our team members would know. Is it NAB? I don't know. It's a conference in Vegas that is very popular, and Apple is one of the big sponsors. Anyway, I happen to be in town simultaneously during this conference. It has a very unique name, and when I see it, I'll know it. Anyway, Apple bought billboards all across Vegas. We could probably find the advertising campaign. This was just a couple years ago, and it was all about privacy. Apple was buying billboard after billboard after billboard, basically saying that we are going to honor your cellular privacy, that we are going to basically do the equivalent of my body, my choice. It is now going to be my cell phone, my choice. Apple for years said that if you have a phone, we're not going to be able to look into it. Remember when Apple refused to unlock the iPhone? It was San Bernardino. Yeah. And they were unwilling to unlock the iPhone because they said our commitment to privacy knows no bounds. It doesn't matter if it's a terrorist. We're not going to go through a back end into technology, our technology, to try to spy on what you are doing. By the way, it is CES. Thank you. It's CES, the annual trade show organized by the Consumer Technology Association. Thank you. And remember, Apple refused the government's request to unlock the Pensacola shooter suspect's iPhone. They just won't do it. However, they won't do that, but what Apple will do, so Apple won't unlock iPhones of terrorists in America, but Apple will prevent the speech and the ability to communicate for protesters in mainland China as CCP, but it makes sense. Tim Cook doesn't care about civil liberties. Tim Cook is the new digital Mao Zedong. Play cut 67.
China's done an unbelievable job of lifting people out of poverty. They've done an incredible job, I mean, far beyond what any country has done. And we should all feel good about it. And so there are, in the environmental leadership today is very clear, and it aligns completely with Apple's values.
The Chinese environmental leaders,
yes,
the government.
Yes, mm-hmm. I mean, they're very fixated on doing the right things to avert climate change.
China is the number one polluter on the planet. They have coal-fired power plants all across mainland China. Charlie Kirk here. Look, I've told you about producer Andrew and how Relief Factor has really improved his life and relieved the pain in his knees and back. Now, let me tell you about Yvonne in California. She says this, quote, both my husband and I are in our 70s and so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom from aches and pains like Relief Factor. I hear you, Yvonne. Relief Factor works for me too. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free solution developed by doctors based on scientific research to help your body attack the underlying inflammation causing you pain. 3 weeks from now, you could be doing the things you enjoy doing. Your first step to becoming pain-free could be just to order the three-week quick start for only $19.95. After trying Relief Factor, over 500,000 people have gone on to order more. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Live your best life and feel the difference with Relief Factor. I think I have found my favorite email I have received in the last couple of weeks. Charlie, you have to stop using Apple. They are evil. I'm not going to say the name. Sent from my iPhone. It's perfect. It's like absolutely perfect. The problem is this. The problem is that many conservatives don't know how to process or engage or solve the problem of major corporate power. We know how to solve problems when it comes to government. Restore to the promise of the U.S. Constitution, separation of powers, checks and balances. This is one of the reasons why I say we need a constitutional reset. The Constitution is the greatest document, political document ever written, period. It's based on biblical values. It is based on things that are always true, eternal wisdom. James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, John Jay understood human nature, and they designed a system of government based on an appropriate analysis of human nature. By doing so, they also made a couple truth claims throughout the Constitution. And if you read the Declaration of Independence, it in some ways is the kind of prologue to the United States Constitution. It talks about how power should not be centralized by one person. The Declaration famously starts very, very broad. When in the course of human events becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have tied them to another. And then it gets very specific. The king did this, the king did that, the king did this, the king did that, the king did this, the king did that. And then it gets very broad again. And in the Constitution, they went about actually solving the problems that they said the king did this, the king did that, the king did this, the king did that. What if I told you that now a private company has the power that we only would fear the government would have? And that's not to say the government isn't wildly out of control right now. We have a fourth branch of government that I sure hope the new Republican Congress is going to make a focus to check and balance and to restore consent to the governed and separation of powers and legitimate oversight. But what's happening with Apple right now is very interesting because very few political leaders, there's some and we're going to play some tape, but there are very few political leaders right now. There's a handful of political leaders that actually understand the threat of what would happen if Apple kicked Twitter out of their app store. Apple basically is flexing their muscles and they are saying, we are in charge. We're the ones that get to decide what applications are able to survive and thrive or cripple and die. How is that not monopoly power exactly? Look what they did to Parler. They could do to Twitter what they once did to Parler. It would actually force Elon Musk to start his own Tesla phone. Let's go to Cut 68. Tim Cook in 2021 defending doing business in China. Play Cut 68.
You have been criticized for not speaking out on human rights issues, for example, in China and other countries as well. This is something I think a lot of companies that have been doing business in China struggle with. A number of companies, as you know, have abandoned China. How do you think about that?
I think that we have a responsibility as a business to do business in as many places as we can, because I think business is this huge catalyst. I believe in what Tom Watson said, is world peace through world trade. You have to get your head around when you're operating outside the U.S. in any country in the world that there are different laws.
World peace through world trade. You see, that is neoliberalism. Donald Trump at his best, and boy, I would love to see this really reemerge as Trump's focus. Donald Trump at his best was an articulate and sometimes bombastic critic of automatic neoliberalism. World peace through world trade. Really, how does that work? So funding the Chinese Communist Party's ambitions of taking over sub-Saharan Africa and ports of entry all across South America, how is that world peace through world trade? You see, there are these built-in neoliberal corporate-funded incantations that Donald Trump, to his great credit, I wrote a whole book about it, came in and said, why is it that we have unlimited amounts of people coming into our country? That doesn't make sense. Why is it that we have trade imbalances and shut down our own manufacturing plants? Because then Tim Cook just says this one-liner that you could fit on a bumper sticker that would satisfy the media, like, well, yeah, of course, world peace through world trade. No, actually, enriching tyrants does not get you closer to world peace. Forced assimilation via globalization and the destruction of individual cultures, language, and borders actually gets you closer towards disintegration and bedlam, not closer towards world peace through world trade. Do you want to make extra money? Then you need to get an e-store from my friends at Nobilis. That's Nobleus. Nobilis offers all the resources needed to run a successful online business, creates your customizable website, provides hundreds of thousands of products and solutions to sell, and Nobilis handles the billing, shipping, returns, and more. No other platform offers you more. The leadership team, I met them, they're really great, includes former West Point officers and entrepreneurs who love America, and their mission is to empower you with more freedom. Nobilis, the easiest way to sell online. So Nobilis is announcing its Founders Club, available to the first 2,500 registrations with a discounted registration fee, 2 months free, and two tickets to their national launch conference in early 2023, a combined savings of $1,000. To launch your e-store, it only takes a few minutes to register. Go to charliekirkshow.com or charliekirk.com and click on My Store to get started today. Amazing product, more opportunity, more money, Nobilis. Joining us now is John Solomon, one of the best reporters in America. Love his program every day on Real America's Voice. I catch it when I can. John, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, good to be with you, Charlie.
So, John, I want to start with your story from Just the News. That's justthenews.com. County under a cloud, Maricopa's decade-long history of election issues from 2012 to 2022. John, I live in Maricopa County. We're doing this show actually live from Maricopa County. And when I talk to people across the country, it has become more than a laughingstock. It has become an insult to American elections and our country. Your thoughts?
Well, listen, people sometimes forget history real quickly, right? Because we live in a fast-paced world. But the train wreck that we saw in 2022 has actually been a slow-motion train wreck that started back in 2012. And what's interesting is that when the election irregularity problem started in Maricopa County a decade ago, it was the mainstream media and Democrats that were concerned about it. In 2012, Arizona Republican called Maricopa County the embarrassment of the United States for its slow election counting, like 2 weeks of delayed election counting. 2014, new problems occurred. 2016, during the primary, such significant problems occurred and people were left in lines for such long hours that the Obama Justice Department sent a letter saying, hey, what are you guys doing there? There's been changes of leadership. But no matter what happens, the same issues keep recurring. Long lines, problems with machines, inability to vote easily in a state that should be, you know, quite easy to vote. And so when you ask, how did we get to this point in 2022? The answer is, it's been a decade coming and it's been this county's repeated inability to fix these problems that continue to erode the confidence of Arizona voters in their own system in their largest county.
The Obama Justice Department in 2016 sent a letter to Maricopa County saying that the lines were unacceptable.
Yep.
Where is the Justice Department now?
Very silent. We haven't heard anything thus far about that. And I think that's what's so interesting about the election integrity issue. Democrats were for it until they became against it. And I think that sadly, right now, the Democrats are missing an opportunity to join with Republicans and fix systems all across this country that have issues. We were the beacon of constitutional republics in the world, the beacon of democracy in the world. The idea that we can't count our votes as quickly as other countries who long followed us on this political path is embarrassing. And instead of playing politics, both parties could get together, as has happened in Florida or Texas and a few other places, and fix these other locations so that every person, Democrat, Republican, Independent, feels good that their vote's going to be counted, that there's not going to be cheating, and it can be done easily. It's not rocket science to fix this. There has been an unwillingness to fix this, and there's been a use of the Democrats of the chaos in this system to try to take advantage of that to their electoral benefit. At some point, someone has to yell stop, and we get these things fixed. They're not hard to fix.
No, they're not, but it doesn't seem as if there is a willingness or even an appetite for the recognition that something might have gone wrong. No, it's the opposite, John. It's that when we talk to the Maricopa County supervisors, not talk, but when we, I mean, we do our show and then they respond to us, they blame our show. Via the Washington Post, Maricopa County says it is Charlie Kirk's fault that there were long lines on Election Day. That it's our fault. Your piece talks about, though, that this has been many years in making. Helen Purcell, who was the Maricopa County recorder that had the fumble back in 2016, at least she acknowledged that this was not acceptable. Now, John, how often do we get lectured by Democrats as, you know, not being on the side of quote-unquote democracy? And we are a republic, not a democracy, but let's pretend what they mean is on the voting rights. And yet when anywhere between 50 to 150,000 people in Maricopa County are disenfranchised, they're completely silent.
Yeah, listen, I think that's the issue here, right? I think we've played politics too long with this system when, in fact, every American should be invested in having a system that makes it easy to vote and hard to cheat. That's all people are asking for. Standing in long lines wasn't something that Charlie Kirk created in 2022. It started all the way back in 2016 with the long lines, 2012 with the problems with voting counting that was stretched on for days and the local newspaper was embarrassed by it. This has been a 10-year train wreck, and the failure of Republicans and Democrats to fix it only erodes not only Americans' confidence in their own system, it erodes the world's confidence in America's great voting system. We used to do this so easily, and we've made it so complex, and we've made it so hard, and I think for some reasons we've done so so that one party could take advantage of the rules. And I think there has to be a yell-stop moment where we rise above and say, Democrat, Republican, Independent, let's get above that for a second. Let's do what's right for this country and get these things fixed. It would take but a few hours to sit down and figure out why we don't bring toner to the printers, why we don't count votes regularly, why there were long lines and not enough people to staff lines over the last decade. Not hard stuff to fix. This is like the water boy not bringing water to the football game or the offensive coordinator not bringing his playbook. These things are simple things to fix. There's just been an unwillingness to fix it.
Unwillingness is the right word. And so in Cut 39, Bill Gates, who is the chairman of the Maricopa County Supervisors, he talks about how printer issues did not impact Republican areas versus Democrat areas. First of all, this is wrong. We have the evidence to show he's wrong. But even if he was right, he's wrong again, because who votes on Election Day? It's disproportionately Republican, even in Democrat areas. Kerry Lake was winning the Election Day vote. Bill Gates doesn't mention this because I think Bill Gates is trying to grovel a little bit because he knows he's under, I think, some very serious, he's in some very troubled waters here. And if there was an actual Justice Department, boy, these supervisors, I think they would be criminally investigated. Play Cut 39.
The integrity of my colleagues up here on the dais and the integrity of Stephen Richer were questioned over and over and over again. And I know this is not my seat. This is the people's seat that I sit in. You can think what you want to about me, but these are good men who are in public service for the right reasons. This was not a perfect election, but it was safe and secure. The votes have been counted accurately.
John, your thoughts?
Well, listen, integrity aside, competence does matter. And Americans expect their election officials to be competent. And there is a history of incompetence in this county that lasts a decade. It stretches a decade. Anything that goes on for a decade is far too long. And I think a lot of the effort here is to try to politicize this. Well, it wasn't just Republican votes. It actually doesn't matter. The mere fact that people were left to go in lines, have to put things in a B box and a D box and get the rigmarole, that's not how American elections are conducted. And by the way, for most of our history, we've done this pretty flawlessly. I don't know why in the last 10 years we seem to have lost our ability to count votes accurately or to do things consistently and efficiently. But it shouldn't matter whether it's a Republican or Democrat vote. They should be ashamed that anyone's vote was left in the status that it was on Election Day, where you had to wait in long lines, fill out things, cancel ballots, do another ballot. That's not the way the election system works. And they should be saying, it's a euphemism to say, this wasn't a perfect election. That's like saying, I'm not a crook when you're Richard Nixon. At the end of the day, your job was to make voting easy and simple, and they failed to do so. And they have to acknowledge that. That's not a Republican issue. That's not a conservative issue, a Democrat issue. It's an American issue. Do their job better. That's all I think the Arizona voters are asking of Maricopa County.
And yet, look, it's voter suppression and occurred. unmistakably whether it was by design or by incompetence. And this story from justthenews.com summarizes it really well. So where do things stand now? It seems that the certification deadline has come up. Has the state certified the election yet?
That'll be the next step. Right? Yeah, that's the next step. The state will do that over the next few days. And at that point, the legal challenges of people like Abe Hamadeh and Carrie Lake will become ripe, meaning that they'll be to actually go and challenge the certification. The challenge to any legal case after an election has already been conducted is you have to be able to show there are enough votes denied you or denied being cast that day that would change the outcome of the election. Now, Abe Hamadeh is only 800 votes. That may be possible to do. Carrie Lake's a much larger number. But being unable to get to that threshold, if you can't show it consistently or compellingly, the courts are probably not going to intervene, which means the process now has to begin to make sure, no matter how these two cases work out, and I know both candidates are going to go to court and fight hard for the people of Arizona, but when that's over, we have to make sure that 2024 isn't a repeat of 2022, 2020, 2018, 2016, and 2012, because it's like the movie Groundhog Day. We keep repeating this in Maricopa County.
Well, and then people say, well, Charlie, why don't you fix it? Well, it's because you have to have political power to fix it. And that's so right. We're going to have to recall either Richer or recall Gates or have some very aggressive lawsuits that fix these things once and for all. And look, I'll be honest. I think that it's there. I'm going to play this piece of tape. If there's a judge courageous enough to look at the evidence, this is one poll worker. So this is not some random guy. By the way, Stephen Richer calls these people conspiracy theorists, even though this guy was an official worker for Stephen Richer. He's calling his own workers conspiracy theorists. That's the quality of person that Stephen Richer is. So he calls him a conspiracy theorist. Meanwhile, he says 675 people were in line and 525 of them ended up not voting. Play cut 24.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Board of Supervisors, I was a poll worker. And what I will say that I've seen is voters this cycle have, in fact, been disenfranchised because we as poll workers were not taught how to check out voters at our poll centers. And then at my poll center, where we literally had at 7 p.m. on election day, 675 people waiting in line. Of those 675, do you know how many came in? 150.
Your thoughts?
Listen, that's going to be the key thing. What is the check-in, check-out document show? That's what Carrie Lake sued to try to get access to. That level of evidence will let us know whether there were disenfranchised voters. That's the next step in this process.
Look, you know what could be a great gift this year? To take away inflation for someone. While you can't control their gas prices or home prices, you could stop meat inflation for yourself and everyone you know. How? A subscription to Good Ranchers during their Black Friday special. Beef prices are expected to go up another 15% in 2023, but Good Ranchers customers who use my code KIRK will experience 0% inflation all year long. That's because every subscriber locks in their price for the life of their subscription. It's not enough to get you to subscribe. You can also get their Black Friday offer right now. So look, I got to tell you right now, head on over to goodranchers.com to find the perfect box for you in their curated selection of America's best meat and seafood. Two free 12-ounce Black Angus New York strip steaks and two free pasture-raised chicken breasts right now. Give the gift of zero inflation and America's best meat to yourself or someone else this season. Good Ranchers' award-winning service and quality are why they have over 7,000 five-star reviews. I love Good Ranchers, and you should too. Made in America, so good. Support American ranchers. Their best offer of the year, two free Black Angus steaks, two free pasture-raised chicken breasts, zero inflation, all with Good Ranchers, American meat delivered. So check it out right now, goodranchers.com, promo code KIRK. Good Ranchers, they do such an amazing job. Put your country first, put your family first. All orders will receive 2 free-ounce Black Angus New York strips, 2 free pasture-raised chicken breasts. Lock in your best price for 2023. Beef prices are expected to rise another 15% in 2023 due to the shrinking herd. Today's prices will seem cheap in a few months. GoodRanchers.com, promo code KIRK. I love Good Ranchers. Support this program. They're awesome. Our family uses it, and you should too. GoodRanchers.com, promo code KIRK. Check it out. GoodRanchers.com, promo code KIRK. What other stories are you keeping an eye on right now? We got the Georgia runoff coming up in 6 days. What are other things that you guys are covering closely at Just the News?
Well, this is something that doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people, but it could have a significant impact on your future pocketbook, your future budget. Social cost of carbon. This is a concept that Barack Obama invented in 2009. Put a dollar figure on the cost of carbon and its impact on the environment. And for most of the last decade, though it's been controversial, that price has been set at $51 per metric ton of carbon released in. Well, very quietly, with no fanfare, just before Thanksgiving, in an addendum to a regulatory filing that nobody in the real world actually reads, the Biden administration just came back and quadrupled that figure, quadrupled it from $51 to $190 per cubic feet. Now you say, all right, that's just a scientific exercise. That has no real meaning. This dollar figure is what's going to be used to impose future taxes and regulatory fees on everything from tailpipe emissions to methane emissions, which they're currently posing on natural gas providers. That means your natural gas bill, your gasoline bill is going to get a lot more expensive. And remember last week, Joe Biden, when he was overseas, said, I've decided America is going to pay reparations to all the poor countries in the world for the pollution we imposed on them. Well, this dollar figure of $190 will now be the benchmark, potentially, that the United States will use to pay foreign countries for our, quote unquote, pollution. A very significant thing. Bureaucrats do things with almost no visibility of the American people to see it. This is one of those. We're going to expose this tomorrow. It's a big number that's going to have a long-term effect on American policy.
Yeah, and so talk a little bit more about that. This could just be done unilaterally?
It's a regulatory fiat. The executive state, as we talk so often, bureaucrats do things. Now, maybe it will get challenged in the courts. In fact, the idea that there is even a social carbon cost regulation is being challenged by the state of Louisiana December 7th. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is going to hear that challenge. But if that prevails and this dollar figure sets, every new regulation the EPA does on the fossil fuel industry will suddenly have a new fee imposed on it, set at this $190 per cubic feet of carbon. So that means natural gas, heating fuel, gasoline in your car, reparations to future countries, all could become that four times more expensive based on this calculation.
It's incredible, and almost no one is talking about it.
No.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining us. Great job. JustinNews.com. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Everybody, email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Someone said here, Charlie, whatever happened to the rule, if you were in line before 7 p.m., you could still vote. So that's actually not the issue here. The issue is that people ran out of time, their own time, meaning they had kids at soccer practice. They had to go to a meeting. They had to go back to work. And so people did not have the time in their schedule to sit through multiple hours of lines. And yet Bill Gates says, well, everyone who wanted to vote was able to vote. That's not true. We have example after example of people that hadn't voted, that have voted in every election for the last 40 years, but did not vote on 11-8 because of what the Maricopa County supervisors did. If this happened in downtown Atlanta or in Philadelphia, there would be widespread calls for a new election. Widespread. Play cut 23, please.
I feel that the voters of Arizona, and in particular Maricopa County and Wickenburg, had their votes disenfranchised because Maricopa County had so many problems on Election Day. Thousands could not vote. Thousands left discouraged. I was one of those voters disenfranchised in Wickenburg and Maricopa County. My ballot looked perfect, and no matter what I did, the tabulator would not accept it. I reluctantly finally put my ballot in drawer 3, ballot, and noticed there were hundreds of ballots stuffed in both tabulators in drawer 3. I was later told there were 17,000 plus ballots in drawer 3.
Example after example coming through. So the timeline is this. The election will likely be certified by the governor, the secretary of state, and the attorney general. And then at that moment, Carrie Lake has her best opportunity to present a robust legal challenge. And I know some of you are saying, oh, Charlie, why doesn't she just sue? Well, look what happened to Abe Hamadeh yesterday. Abe Hamadeh's lawsuit got thrown out by a judge because the judge says, we got to wait for the election to be certified before you're able to have a legal challenge. So you have to wait, and then the best legal challenge that you could possibly put forward. But just to manage expectations, it's going to take a very courageous judge to do anything meaningful here, to do anything substantial. But boy, the evidence is just right here. It's right in front of us. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.